Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
It's good to be back.
So today, we're doing what we always do. We're taking that whole stack of sources you've provided us, the articles, all the internal
For
research.
anecdotes, the whispers.
Exactly, all of it. And we're going to synthesize it, boil it down to the crucial insights you need.
And today, we are cracking open a file that is a true corporate urban legend. I mean, it's one of those stories that feels like it shouldn't be true.
It really does. It's a story that's less about some, big external threat and much more about the quiet, almost terrifying power of the person sitting in the corner cubicle.
The one everyone just walks past, the one they ignore.
Until the system breaks. And the central anecdote here, the thing that hooks you right in and makes this a mandatory deep dive, is this one line.
It's
They
incredible.
called him Dean Calendar because one morning in 1984, he didn't just call in sick, he erased the entire day from the schedule.
And that phrase, erase the entire day, that's not hyperbole. That's not a metaphor. It literally describes the fundamental alteration of, well, of chronological reality for a massive company. So our mission today is to really analyze this incident.
We're going to use the specialized notes about this 1984 Dayton event to understand this collision, this intersection of deep human drudgery and a just brilliantly exploited technical loophole.
Which brings us to our core question, the one we want you, the listener, to keep in mind as we go through this.
Right, because you're navigating a world that's increasingly run by these hidden digital rules. So the question is, how much power does that quiet person in the back office?
The one who really truly understands the system, the guts of the operation.
How much power do they actually wield over reality itself?
And we are going to find out that sometimes the answer is, well, it's all of it.
All of it. So to really get a handle on the sheer audacity of what Dean Calendar did, we have to go back. We need to understand the world he was in.
Let's set the scene. You have to really picture
Okay,
this.
let's unpack it. Act I, the man behind the mainframe.
So we are in Dayton, Ohio. The year is 1984.
And the sources are very clear. Dean Calendar worked in payroll at a paper manufacturing company. And this context, it's so important.
It is. This is not Silicon Valley. This isn't some tech startup.
No, this is heavy industry, a paper company. Think relentless schedules, huge inventory, physical trucks on physical
But,
roads.
and this is the critical part, it's a world where all that physical stuff, the manufacturing, the logistics,
Yeah.
it's all being governed by a central digital god.
The payroll mainframe.
Exactly. In the mid-80s, the mainframe was it. It was the unquestioned source of truth for everything: scheduling, labor, and most importantly,
Money.
money. This was way before cloud computing, before everything was distributed. If you controlled the mainframe, you didn't just control the IT department.
You controlled the source code for the company's entire existence, every salary, every delivery day, every single clock in and clock out. It all flowed through that one central machine.
Which brings us to the man himself,
Yeah.
to our protagonist, Dean Calendar.
The description of him is just, it's fascinating. It's the ultimate example of office camouflage.
Total camouflage. He was quiet, the kind of person the sources describe as blending into the beige of the office wall.
Zero external charisma. They even make a point of noting his famous clip-on tie.
The clip-on tie. It's like a symbol of his commitment to being utterly unremarkable.
Right. Nothing about him, his physical presence, suggested he held the power to disrupt global logistics.
And that right there, that's the critical insight. Dean's power had nothing to do with his job title or his place in the corporate food chain.
It was based entirely on specialized, and I think this is key, overlooked knowledge.
Completely overlooked. The detail that comes up in all the sources is that Dean knew the mainframe better than his manager.
Let's just sit with that for a second. That knowledge gap, it explains everything that follows.
It does. I mean, you can picture his manager, right? Probably focused on budgets, on staff meetings, quarterly reports.
They're managing the outputs of the system.
Exactly.
Right.
While Dean, he was living in the inputs, the maintenance routines, the legacy code, all the dusty, forgotten corners where the system's real logic lived.
His manager was looking at a spreadsheet. Dean was looking at the architecture of their reality.
Dean was managing reality. He was operating at layer zero, while everyone else was, clicking around on layer three, the user interface.
It's that classic theme of hidden power. In any big system, the person who understands the undocumented protocols, the weird legacy quirks, they hold a power the C-suite can't even see.
Let alone fight against it.
So the big question is, what was the catalyst? What pushes a man like that to use this immense hidden power? It wasn't greed. It wasn't ambition.
No, it was something so much more universal. It was the simple, profound drudgery of the Monday morning ritual.
This is where the story gets really human. He wasn't some supervillain plotting world domination.
Not at all. He was just an observer. An observer of systemic human suffering, in a way.
Every Monday morning, he would watch what the sources call the same ritual.
You can see it in your head. Employees just dragging themselves in, groaning, drowning themselves in coffee.
And just complaining that the weekend was over, that this freedom was just abruptly cut off by the tyranny of the clock.
It's that moment where the abstract system, the five-day work week, translates directly into an emotional cost,
oh.
A performance cost even.
Yeah, the company wants a full, efficient day's work, but the system itself guarantees that on Monday, you're going to get a company-wide dip in morale.
Universal Monday dread. And Dean saw this inefficiency, this bug in the human code,
yeah.
And it inspired him.
And this connects so perfectly to the thematic analysis from the Inspector Story Index. This story is fundamentally about two things: erasure and the power of systems.
Exactly. Dean looked at the problem, the dread, and realized it was systemic. So the solution couldn't just be him taking a personal day.
No, that wouldn't fix the problem for everyone else. It had to be a systemic deletion.
He wasn't looking for a vacation day. He was looking for a systemic cure for the disease of the week itself.
He was like a doctor for the calendar. The sources connect this to figures like Klaus Richter or Schatten, The Shadow.
Right, where the ultimate power was making something or someone cease to exist in the official records.
Dean just applied that same principle, not to a person, but to a whole day on the calendar.
He looked at the corporate structure, not as this unchangeable fact of life, but as just a rigid digital structure, one that was very, very susceptible to editing.
If you knew where the master controls were hidden.
And he wasn't asking for permission. He was just looking for a loophole in the system's own definition of time.
So we've got the motive locked in. The universal misery of Monday. Now we have to look at the method.
The how.
How does a guy with a clip-on tie and a deep understanding of mainframe code translate that into the audacious act of editing time itself? This brings us to Act Two, Erasing Monday.
And the technical brilliance here is just. It's beautiful in its simplicity. He didn't try to brute force it.
No, a simple deletion would have crashed everything, set off every alarm.
Instead, he found a specific weakness, a feature, not a bug, that was intentionally built into the system for a legitimate reason.
We have to zoom in on what a mainframe was like in 1984. These were not the sleek, real-time systems we have now.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
They were built for batch processing. They'd run huge data dumps overnight. And they relied heavily on, you know, sequential integrity and very specific, low-level operational files.
And late one night, working all alone, Dean finds one of these files.
This is the core of the exploit. He discovers a hidden test file, a mechanism that was specifically built into the system's architecture to handle, of all things, daylight saving time shifts.
Daylight saving time, it's almost poetic.
It is, and this is so crucial for you, the learner, to grasp. Why DST? Because daylight saving is the system's own built-in programmed admission that time.
It's
an arbitrary condition that sometimes has to be warped. The system was already designed to know how to add an hour or take one away or move a sequence marker.
And to do it without triggering security flags, it was a high privilege function.
The system already had a master key to chronological control built right into its own DNA.
Dean just found the door that this key opened.
He realized this file wasn't just some test routine. It was the actual mechanism of chronological control. It was designed to adjust how the system perceived the start and end of a 24-hour cycle.
It could redefine a day's properties without breaking the underlying accounting logic, which is the most important part.
Absolutely. And this leads to what the sources call the semantic hack.
I love that term, because he didn't write a single line of malicious code.
Nothing. That would have been noisy, would have broken things.
Yeah.
Instead, he performs a simple but unbelievably powerful rename using that DST file's high privilege access.
So explain the semantics here. It's genius because it works with the system's own logic.
Right. The payroll operating system, it didn't necessarily validate the name of the day against like a global human calendar.
It wasn't checking a wall calendar.
No. It was just validating the sequence. It just knew it had a process Sunday and then the next day and then Tuesday.
So by renaming the internal file descriptor for Monday to, and this is the best part, to part two of Sunday, he essentially tricked the system.
He tricked it into seeing a continuous 48-hour block of weekend time on its own ledger. The system looked for the day after Sunday and it found part two of Sunday.
And it just accepted it. It ran its necessary batch functions for that pseudo day, and then it just moved on seamlessly to Tuesday.
The hack didn't delete the physical hours in the universe. It just deleted the system's definition of that day's utility.
And the proof of concept, the test, was immediate and flawless.
The payroll run accepted the change. It skipped the calendar date entirely. And critically, the paycheck still went out. They still cleared.
And that's the ultimate test of reality in a corporation, isn't it? If the money works, everything works.
The financial integrity of the system validated the existence of a continuous Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to pause here because this detail shows you how fragile our entire administrative reality is.
It really is. If the payroll system, the financial soul of the company, accepts the change, then for all intents and purposes, Monday simply did not exist.
And for the employees.
Yeah.
The immediate consequence was nothing. Nobody noticed the technical side.
They just noticed they had a longer weekend.
An extended weekend and a full 5 days of pay for 4 days of work. Dean had just delivered the single most desired corporate benefit in history.
Unilaterally and invisibly.
And that success, it gave him a taste of real fundamental power. He moved past just observing the system.
He was now an active system architect. He started to expand.
The sources describe it as a quiet expansion. He didn't tell anyone. He didn't boast.
No online manifesto?
No. He just quietly started logging into other branch systems after hours, using the same DST exploit file to repeat the trick.
He kept up that same quiet, clip-on-tie demeanor at the office, but we get that one wonderful anecdote.
Yes, that he would joke very softly, just to himself.
Enjoy your shorter week.
It's the ultimate private satisfaction. He's the unseen god of the machine, handing out gifts.
And by that winter, the scope of his project had broadened significantly. 5 different branch offices were now consistently missing Mondays from their internal calendars.
Imagine being an employee in one of those towns. Morale must have been off the charts.
Absolutely. But this is where we move from a local legend to a major systemic disruption, because this act created what the sources call a bifurcation of reality.
That's a great term for it. Because internally, inside the walls of the paper company, life was amazing.
Morale through the roof. Employees are rested. They're probably more productive during their 4 days.
And they're getting paid for 5.
Mm.
Dean had achieved the perfect benevolent system hack.
The paper company doesn't exist in a bubble. It has to interact with the outside world.
Suppliers, customers, logistics partners, all of these external systems were still operating on a calendar that very much recognized the existence of Monday.
And this is where the logistical chaos starts to bleed out into the real physical world.
We see very specific examples in the reports. Trucks are delayed. Airlines miss their flight slots for cargo.
And why? Because the paper company's dispatch system, which is running on Dean's internal calendar, would issue a loading manifest for, say, Tuesday.
Which to them is the day after part two of Sunday.
Right. But the trucking company's system, their API, would get that request, and their system would say, wait a minute, it's a day late. Because for them, a Monday just happened.
So the internal system is generating date X, but all the external systems are operating on date X minus one.
The paper company was living on a calendar that was perpetually a day ahead of the rest of the world, administratively.
It wasn't just a late truck here or there. It was a cascading failure. External APIs were rejecting the company's internal dating conventions, causing timeouts, confusion.
It's just administrative chaos.
And it proved that true governance, true control, it hides in plain sight. Dean found the hidden protocols that govern time itself.
He proved that the core system, not the CEO's memo, not the government holiday schedule,
but the digital protocol in some forgotten mainframe file, that's what dictates the structure of the week.
Mm.
And therefore, the schedule of reality.
And this bifurcation, this growing friction between the company's reality and the world's reality, eventually it became too big to ignore.
It had to. Which leads us right into Act 3, the global glitch and the vanishing act.
So these widespread scheduling problems, the delayed trucks, the missed shipping dates, this constant calendar mismatch, it finally bubbled up to the corporate IT department at headquarters.
And they had no idea what was going on. They didn't know about Dean Calendar. They certainly didn't know about part two of Sunday.
No, they just knew that multiple branches were having these bizarre, inexplicable logistical failures. They probably assumed it was, you know, database corruption or a network sync issue.
It was a standard systems problem. So IT wakes up and they begin what they think is just a routine maintenance job.
They identify the symptom. The calendar system is skipping days. Their goal is simple. Patch the bug, force the calendar to restore Monday.
They're treating it like a typo. a simple data error. They have no idea that the error was actually a deep semantic redefinition of chronological reality.
And this is the moment of catastrophe. When you try to force a rigid, correct structure onto a system that has been fundamentally redefined at its core,
you risk breaking everything. The patch, the attempted fix, it failed. Spectacularly.
Instead of smoothly reinserting Monday back into the sequence, the system just... it rebelled. It couldn't validate the existence of Monday because of the deep-level changes Dean had made.
So it did the only thing its logic would allow. It performed what the sources call a hard system jump.
Violently, the entire corporate system jumped straight from the closing minute of Sunday to the opening minute of Tuesday.
Skipping Monday entirely.
And the sources are chillingly precise about this. For a 12-hour window, no Monday existed anywhere in the company's wide-scale systems.
This wasn't just payroll being a bit confused anymore. This was a total administrative blackout.
The fallout was immediate. Timekeeping software registered a 12-hour void in existence.
How do you calculate hourly wages for a day that your system says never happened?
You can't. Scheduling systems, logistics software... it all just stalled. It had no temporal context to operate in. Dean's local benevolent rebellion had now triggered a full-blown corporate systemic failure.
The whole organization just paused because the software that defined the structure of time itself had failed.
And a failure that big, it leaves a trail, a single trail.
When the IT investigators finally got into the error logs, they were desperate. They were trying to find the source of this impossible calendar jump, this, you know, intentional time distortion.
They weren't even looking for a hacker. They were probably looking for a high-level system admin who just made a colossal mistake.
But the logs were consistent. They looked for the user handle responsible for the calendar modifications, the ones that led to the initial instability and then the final crash.
And only one user handle appeared over and over and over again. Calendar D.
Calendar D, Dean Calendar.
The quiet, innocent payroll clerk. The guy known only by the nickname that mocked his job.
It's an incredible irony. They called him Dean Calendar as a joke, suggesting he was a slave to the calendar.
When in fact he was its master.
And this is where we see that theme of erasure come back in the most powerful way. Just like in those other stories from the Index, Dean's act of removing Monday
became the definitive, non-erasable evidence of his control.
Exactly. He wasn't found in the system doing something. He was found by the administrative void, the hole in reality that he had created.
The evidence of the gap in time was the only way to track the creator of the gap.
So they had the identity, they had the digital fingerprint, all they had to do was find the man.
So the investigators drive over to Dean's apartment in Dayton, Ohio. You can just picture the scene. They're expecting to find him.
Right, maybe he's packing a bag nervously, or maybe he's just sitting there defiantly waiting for them.
But what they found, the state of the apartment, is maybe the most poetic part of this entire legend.
The sources all describe it the same way. It was empty.
And not just empty of Dean. It was empty of any trace of him. No clothes in the closet, no dishes in the sink, no personal items whatsoever.
No forwarding address, no instructions for his mail, nothing.
Dean didn't just erase the day from the calendar. He meticulously erased himself from the physical world. He performed the ultimate vanishing act.
He erased himself from the company's systems, and then he erased himself from reality.
A ghost in the machine, and now a ghost in the world. He understood that his freedom depended on his complete non-existence in the very records he used to maintain.
But he did leave two things behind, on the desk.
First, the mainframe access manual, the source of his hidden power. And second, a single, final sticky note.
And this note, left for the investigators, it is the perfect summation of his control, his genius, and his final brilliant escape.
The quote, which is repeated in every corporate systems audit from that era that mentions this story, is just five words.
If you can read this, it's Tuesday.
It's breathtaking. I mean, that is the ultimate mic drop, a complete statement of mastery.
Think about what that note means for the investigator standing in that empty room. They're there to apprehend him for a crime that happened on a Monday.
A Monday that, according to their own corporate systems, didn't exist.
And because that hard system jump had violently thrown their entire system forward by 12 hours, Dean had used that very failure to give himself a 12-hour head start on the entire world.
He didn't just escape. He forced them to live in the Tuesday he created. He confirmed the validity of his own chaos.
While he was off enjoying a perpetual, unofficial part two of Sunday. somewhere far away, completely untraceable by the systems he understood better than anyone.
It's the ultimate successful digital rebellion.
So let's bring this all together. Let's get to the synthesis. What does this legend, the story of Dean Callender, what does it mean for you, the learner, trying to navigate these massive organizations?
I think the main lesson is so clear, and it's so critical for anyone to understand. The most significant power in any large organization, it often doesn't reside with the formal leadership.
Not with the people giving the presentations in the boardroom.
No, it resides with the individuals who truly understand the underlying mechanics, the architecture of the systems.
We're so often focused on these flashy external threats, you know, the hacker from the outside. But Dean Callender proves that the deepest vulnerability is almost always the overlooked internal expertise.
That quiet person who manages the database, the one who handles the legacy software, who knows that one arcane, forgotten corner of the code where the DST shifts are handled.
That person holds the foundational keys to the kingdom.
Their knowledge is the actual architecture of your organization's reality. They are the true architects of efficiency.
And as we've just seen, they're the potential architects of catastrophic systemic chaos. The clip-on tie can hide a level of expertise that can literally rewrite time.
And this connects so directly to other principles we've seen in our source index. You think about the Monopoly file, the collector.
The lesson there was that mastering the game's internal logic, the deep rules, gives you power far beyond what the public-facing rules say.
Dean mastered the logic of the corporate calendar, not the company's public policy about the work week.
And you see it in the story of Aladdin or Adil al-Din. The power wasn't in some treasure. It was in understanding the ledger, how the accounts were recorded and manipulated.
Dean understood the calendar's ledger, the chronological accounting that dictates labor, pay, and logistics for everyone.
So our one-line takeaway, the thing for you to carry with you from this deep dive, it's simple, it's memorable, and it's just a little bit terrifying.
Sometimes the person everyone ignores in the back office is the one holding the calendar and the power to make a day simply not happen.
It's a profound story. It's about the fragility of our digital world and the immense unacknowledged power we give to the few people who really grasp how it all works.
It should make every manager, every CEO, wonder who exactly is maintaining our DST files.
And that leads us to our final provocative thought. Something we want you to mull over.
We saw the direct results of what Dean did. On one hand, employee morale skyrocketed.
But on the other, logistics failed. Trucks were delayed, shipments were missed, the real world started to break.
So here's the paradox. If a Monday truly vanished from all the internal digital systems that govern pay and labor, but the external consequences, the delayed people and products, still happened.
Where did that day actually exist?
Did the day only exist in the frustration of the logistics managers, the immutable schedule of the outside world?
Or did Dean actually succeed? Did he give his corner of the world a part two of Sunday in his digital rebellion?
Which system, at the end of the day, holds the ultimate authority over time in our modern world? The digital calendar with its internal logic.
Or the collective lived experience of happy employees and very frustrated truck drivers. The answer to that really dictates who controls your week.
It's a deep thought about where administrative authority really lies in the digital age. We highly recommend you explore the source material we drew from.
For a full breakdown of the Dean Callender story, the technical analysis of the semantic hack, and many more corporate urban legends, you can look up the source index at Inspector Story.
Thank you for joining us for this dive into the missing Monday. We hope you enjoy the rest of your week, no matter what your internal ledger decides to call it.
We'll see you for the next deep dive.